target for the Apollo 11 astronauts, the moon at liftoff, will be at a distance of 218,096 miles away.
There she goes. Look at that.
Two.
After a decade of preparation, it was on July 20th, 1969, 40 years ago, that the Apollo 11 astronauts walked on the moon. What some people may not know is that a team from the University of Arizona was instrumental in making the moon landing a success. Dr. Spencer Tidley, a geology professor at the University of Arizona, was part of that team. As he tells us, there was a lot of disagreement about what the astronauts would encounter, even after the first pictures of the lunar surface were sent back by NASA's Ranger space probes.
The controversy, and it was fostered by a geochemist or astronomer, I believe at Cornell, Thomas Gold, and he felt that we were going to splash into a sea of dust, thinking that just disappeared. And it was quite obvious from the Ranger pictures that this was not the case. I don't believe too many people took that idea seriously, but the view of Ranger that these three experimenters brought back through JPL gave us a view of the rocks. There was a second set of experiments called Surveyor, which was a soft lander, which sat down, had a little television camera on it that looked around the moon. And the Surveyor mission, again, prior to the Apollo missions, gave us a close-up picture and a view of what we were seeing in the landscapes in terms of rocks and this sort of thing. So Ranger and Surveyor were precursors to the knowledge that we developed at a broader scale through the mapping that were used both to determine or to pinpoint landing sites on the moon where we had optimized the amount of information would be obtained and to get some idea backing up the Surveyor Ranger information that had been developed earlier.
What were the main considerations that NASA had in mind for the landing spot?
The quad maps that we had done indicated a variety of different kinds and potential ages of lunar materials, and what we did was take basically geologic practice on Earth. For example, it's common practice on Earth in terms of when you go into a mountain range to start working on the lower reaches of streams, because the streams capture all the rocks that are around it. And you can, by sampling rocks at the foot of a range, you can get a fairly good idea of what you're going to see as you walk higher and higher in the mountains. And that's a basic premise in geologic mapping. The same type of premise was used in defining landing spots that would optimize in a small area the sampling that you could do from a great number of areas that would be focused in a small area. And so the various landing sites were picked with that sort of thing in mind. Also, to examine interesting features. There remained at that time considerable controversy concerning whether or not there was volcanic activity or had been volcanic activity on the lunar surface. Most people believe that what we see are impact craters, but the small residue of reservation, you might say, still exists concerning whether or not we can see the remnants of very, very ancient volcanic activity on the moon, and some of these crater features might be.
Was there a lot of worry that there would be problems with the mission, that the astronauts would never even get to the moon, or did you feel pretty confident that they were going to make the trip?
Well, anytime you start something new and start off on a journey like that, there's got to be a mild amount of reservation, but these folks were test pilots, and this was test piloting in the extreme degree. And I spent time with them here, and some fairly close time at Kitt Peak, and we worked with astronauts at Kitt Peak. We met them at Davis-Monthan and put them in the cars and fed them and took them up on the mountain, and we spent a night on the mountain looking at features on the moons with the McMass Solar Telescope. We get four or five people around this table looking at different parts of the moon, so they didn't have to share one eyepiece. Every one of them had a light box with a telescope where they could look at it. And we simply sort of stood at their shoulders, instructed them, looked at what they were seeing, and told them what they were looking at. This was their first close view of the moon, was here in Arizona at the McMass Solar Telescope. I found nothing but outward excitement of all of them for what they were doing, a calm excitement, but no reservations whatsoever. I can't tell you what went on in their head, but they were committed to the mission. So if they were committed, so was I.
Were you eager to get a hold of some moon rock for yourself to study?
No, I don't have a single rock. No, I've never put my hand on one.
When it actually came down to the day of the mission, how did you yourself experience it?
I was here in Tucson. We knew it was flying. We hung in pretty close to the TV set when we knew that they were landing. And so we saw it. I remember being quite excited. I recorded it. I still have the original tapes I used to record that. I was headed for Peru afterwards. I was on a sabbatical leave at that time, and following the mission, I left for Peru and took the tapes along with me, and everywhere I went, people were anxious to listen to them. And so they got a lot of attention in South America along my route.
What would you say was your personal contribution to the landing spot search?
Simply the gathering of information and putting it down in some coherent way where it could be understood in these maps and the mapping. There are, I don't know how many on the near side of the moon that we see, they're probably on the order of some 30, 35, maybe 40 different what we call quadrangles. It's a small area on the near side of the moon. This built the background of our understanding, and it gave us a basis to interpret what we were seeing when the rocks came back.
This weekend, KUAT-TV is presenting some specials that look back on the first moon landing. The BBC documentary, The Moon, airs this Sunday, July 19th, at both 3 o'clock and 11:30 p.m. It's on PBS HD. Then next Tuesday evening at 10, the show Inside will go behind the scenes at a manned space launch. You can check the TV page at azpm.org for more information.